Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Buckets. That's the name of my boat. Buckets.
Buckets. Buckets. What we get.
Not the only transfer we got from Florida. Buckets. Keith Stone, too. Remember that.
Everybody who watches his show on a regular basis knows my love of the stretch four.
You know, we all make mistakes. He might have made one going to town.
It's mercy if y'all don't know.
Dribble to the left, cross over to the right. Hurricane to the game, many buckets for the night. Matt with the pin and roll, Melissa with the give it a go. This shallow, pretty girl ducking in the hole. Check the scoreboard, this what we fall for. Peep the gameplay, they want an encore. Yeah, over time for another round. It's buckets after buckets, baby. You out of town. It's buckets. What it is, homie? It's buckets. Woo! We getting buckets. Yeah, baby. Buckets.
I have no shame.
I know. That's the problem.
You guys are awesome.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Buckets. It's been way too long. I am Matt. He's Vish. She's Melissa. How we going? How we doing, guys?
We're still alive.
I've missed you guys. Not like I talk to you guys every day or anything, but did you all miss us?
Bill did.
Oh, I like Bill, the thumbnail. I like the thumbnail.
Bill's already changed his thumbnail 30 times since we last had a show.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I know Dan Barry doesn't miss the show. Been. So.
Shout out Dan Barry.
Wait, what is Dan Barry's thumbnail? Pull that back up again.
It's the Lakers NBA champions.
Oh, the Lakers.
Bubble. I wonder who they beat in that.
Hey, the Heat are summer league champs. Let's go.
I mean, so Matt's got his in-season tournament. You got your summer league. You're winning all the important shit. So that's important.
The Panthers won the cup. That's what I'm on right now. But can we talk about what is over Matt's head? That beautiful banner from Long Beach.
I mean, that's like using your government name.
So do you want to know the story of why I have this? So
sure.
When Monica graduated with her master's, it was when COVID was hardcore. So she didn't have a ceremony. So I got that and I made like a fake podium and I did like a ceremony for her. Like I dressed
up. You can't even hate on it now.
Yeah,
I wasn't hating on it. It was so horrible because it's got. I mean, I think it might have the school with the most nicknames. Call it Beach. Yeah.
The Long State Long Beach. Long State, Long Beach State Beach. Was that what it is?
No, that was actually because the nickname is actually Beach, so it's Long.
That's what
Beach,
I'm saying. Because they use like the mascot, and so since it's Beach, it was Long Beach State Beach.
No, Beach
is
the team.
Beach is the team. It used to be the 49ers.
Yeah, it used to be the 49ers, and then they changed it.
Yeah, but the official name of the school is California State University at Long Beach, right? That's the name. Yeah. That's the official name.
But we can talk more about the beach later. We actually have a guest on tonight, and sorry for announcing it late. We weren't sure, and we're super happy that he was able to make time for us. So joining us, writer for 247 Sports and current University of Miami student. You probably see his stuff all the time because I retweet it from the Buckets account all the time. Welcome Luke Cheney to the show.
What's up, guys?
Hey, thanks for coming on.
What's up, Luke?
Another current student. I love it.
Yep. How you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good. Doing all right.
All right. You want to tell our video, our audience a little bit about yourself? I mean, they probably know because these are like the diehard Hoops fans, but introduce yourself.
Yeah. So I'm Luke. I write for 247. Do a lot of stuff for Inside the U over for their Miami side. I'm also the lead publisher for their FAU side. So if there's any Owls fans out there, go check it out. I'm also the sports editor for the Hurricanes. So support student journalism. Go do that. Check out the Hurricane.
Support student journalism.
Hell yeah. Love that. Well, when's that from?
This is from 2008 from the Hurricane.
She was the basketball fan they're talking about that got thrown out of the game. So.
Oh wait, what?
I'll send you a copy of this later, Luke.
I'll just retell the story real quickly. When she was in college sitting in the student section, we were playing UNC and her and a couple of her friends were waving money at the ref and he went over to the security and had them ejected.
That's
and then someone wrote a newspaper article about it. And that's the First Amendment as a reason as to why we shouldn't have been thrown out.
You know what? I mean, that's an awesome way to get thrown out, honestly. That's sick.
Highlight experience for me. But you know,
it's a story to tell.
I am a troublemaker. So before we get into hoops, because you actually were at the open practice for the media. So I'm super excited to have you on.
Wait, before you do that though, just for us old people that have been around this network longer than Melissa and Matt, Luke used to be on this network too. He's from around these parts. He used to do some of our Canes coverage on Sixth Ring and interviewed Julian Gamble for us a couple of years ago. So
that came across my mind. Man, wow, that was
so he's welcome back home, sort of.
Appreciate that.
Did you write for All Hurricanes also?
I did, So before 247, did some stuff with LifeWall at Sports, and before that, was All Hurricanes.
Yeah, I told the All Hurricanes guys you were gonna be on, and Liam was like, oh, that's my guy.
Liam. Love that guy.
He's been on the show. But as I told you, before we talk about hoops, we have a debate. I didn't steer him one way or the other. I just said prepare to answer the question. So if you could only eat one chicken sandwich for the rest of your life, would you go to Popeyes or Chick-fil-A?
Okay, I would go Popeyes, and I have some very good reasoning for this.
Matt is shocked. Look at that.
Hear me out. So
don't be offended. I pegged you as a Chick-fil-A guy.
Really? We needed one. Look at the scoreboard.
You gotta look at the scoreboard.
You don't know how badly we needed this.
Oh my god. Wow. Popeyes is getting
DJ Irving is the only guest we've had that's picked Popeyes until today. So
you're in elite company though.
And then Katie Meyer just said Bojangles and broke the game, and she's Katie Meyer, so she didn't say anything.
We finally have a fourth. We finally have a fourth.
Go ahead, Luke. What's the reason?
Okay, so I'm a huge pickle guy, right? Big time pickle guy. Popeyes, their chicken sandwich, they had these nicely sliced dill pickles, like 3 or 4 pickles per sandwich. So for me, that's meaningful, right? Chick-fil-A, on the other hand, they sometimes skimp you out. You know, they give you one or two of those really skinny pickles, and sometimes
they don't do the pickle game well on Chick-fil-A. I agree with you there. That actually, I like that reasoning because I'm a huge pickle person as well.
Look at this man doesn't just break down basketball and hoops in detail; he breaks down his chicken sandwiches in detail.
But he gave a legit reason. I love it.
It was good analysis. Quality stuff.
Chick-fil-A's been getting all the love, so it's about time we were running out of space. So it's you can join Matt and Vish and DJ Irving.
Hey, that awesome. Space underneath DJ's name was getting really dusty. So
Chick-fil-A's been on quite the run, I can see.
It has. Yeah. We got Coach Culp, Jasmine Roberts, Liam, Jaleel Bethea, Leah Harmon, Jack McClinton, Durant Scott, and Julian Gamble.
Although Julian Gamble said because of the breakfast, I'm like, you didn't understand the question.
It's okay though.
Well, that's when we altered the question to just.
We altered the question, yeah. So, all right, let's talk about hoops.
Let's do it.
So, you went to the media practice, the open practice the other day. I'm super jealous. I had to work. And you wrote a lot about Jaleel Bethea. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think everyone's kind of hyped about him and being the highest recruit. So what is it that you saw from him that you're like, all right, this guy's the real deal?
Yeah. So we saw like an hour long workout, nothing too crazy. Don't want to come with like any like absolutes when it comes to, you know, what we saw. But in my opinion, at least from, you know, in that hour we saw, and they did, you know, shooting drills, some, you know, your standard, like, you know, three-man weave, basic fast break drills. And they went live for a bit, some transition live game situation drills, some 5-on-5 stuff. So we got to actually see them live, which I was like hyped for. And he was, in my opinion, the best player on the floor for that workout. I was a little concerned coming into this year after watching that McDonald's All-American game, not because of how he played or anything, but just because watching him as far as like his frame on TV, I was like, he looks a bit thin, which is fine, which is expected. I mean, obviously, like, I expected, you know, like the college strength and conditioning program to take care of him, but he looked particularly thin, at least on TV. Watching him live, that wasn't the case as much. I mean, he's skinny, that's not going to change, but like, he wasn't, like, his frame wasn't noticeably thin, if that makes sense, compared to, yeah, you know, the rest. But he just, like, he just looks like an NBA prospect. Just the way he plays, the way he moves. His first step is so fast, so athletic. I mean, obviously, we know how good of a shooter he is. He shot the ball incredibly well from three, both, you know, off the catch, off the dribble, really good in that regard. But the thing that really kind of like caught my eye was his passing, right? Because he was trying some stuff out. I mean, like, passes with the right hand, left hand skip passes, creative driving kicks. Like, it wasn't perfect. Like, yes, there were some erratic passes. Yes, it wasn't always super accurate, but he was like trying stuff. He was very, that's what I'm looking for. He was very willing to, you know, develop that aspect of his game. And just from talking to, you know, Coach Kimball after practice, and just from watching, you know, how he was used, especially during like the live game settings and such, it looks like they want to develop him. I don't want to necessarily say as a one, but as like a bona fide combo guard, and not necessarily just like as a two, right? Because I wasn't sure coming into the year if, you know, he'd be used as more of an off-ball guy, as more of a, you know, guy to not really to create on his own as much as a lead guard, but to play off someone as a two guard. But no, like, he was the primary one for like the second team. And I hate using like first, second team when it comes to summer workouts.
It's super early.
It's so early. Yeah. It's like,
playing with some of the younger guys on the same team, basically.
Yeah. He was with the starters were Blackman, Pack, Cleveland, Omir, and who am I forgetting?
Brandon Johnson.
Kid.
We don't say that name on this show anymore.
It's going to take some while to get used to. I'm just it was weird seeing Omir not there, man. But yeah, Kid. And the second team was Bethea, Johnson Argu, Swartz.
McCray.
What's up?
McCray.
Yes, McCray and Huey.
Okay.
Yes, and like Bethea was working with that second unit. Primary ball handler the entire time. Kimball mentioned after practice that he leads the team in assists this summer. I'm excited to see like how he's going to be used come season time. Is he going to play with the starting lineup and kind of play with Pack, or is he just going to be the primary lead guard off the bench and kind of be used as how, I guess, like a Rob Dillingham was used last year at Kentucky, right? I think either way would benefit him. So I was really, really encouraged with what I saw yesterday.
Luke, I want to ask you, you talk a lot about offense with him, but I want to ask you defensively. I know you only saw it's like an hour workout. There's not a lot you can really take away from that, but just maybe expectations from you on the defensive side of the floor. I know when we talked to Jaleel, that was kind of a point of focus for him in improvement and whatnot. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. So, I mean, as for like yesterday in particular, I'm not going to lie, I was completely ball watching. So
yeah,
just completely ball watching. Like I was like driving home afterwards. I was like, damn, I didn't watch much defense. But from like the couple plays that I try to key in on the defensive floor and just my general expectations for, you know, what he can bring on that end, I'm like, I think at the point of attack, I think with how quick his hips are, I think, you know, just with his innate athleticism, especially his length, if you can really tap into that.
Yeah.
I think he, when guarding guards, I think he could be a solid defender, you know, this year in college. I think just because of his frame, he was, I think he's listed at 170. So he's still like a skinny guy, of course. I could see bigger guards, bigger wings, and, you know, God forbid he gets switched on to a big in the post, right? I think you could see him struggle a little bit in that aspect. And then, of course, I mean, I don't really think that, like, off the ball, he'll be that great off rip, as is every college player away from the ball on defense when they first start. So, I mean, I think defensively there could be a learning curve of sorts.
Yeah.
But my hope, or, like, I guess my hope, best case scenario, is that at least he's competent, if not solid, at the point of attack, guarding guards, guarding those quicker players, which is something that Miami struggled to do last year because I don't think they really had much at the point of attack. But I don't know. I'm kind of wait and see when it comes to Bethea and his defense.
So I know it was just, you know, a bit of a kind of an open workout session, but how was the team? Could you glean anything about the team chemistry and interaction? I think that was a pretty big problem last year. They appeared to like playing with each other, that kind of thing.
It's hard to tell, but I was talking to one of my friends who's like one of the managers in the team, and he was telling me that just like the general vibe of the team, the general cohesion is improved from last year, right? It's going to take time. It's going to take time for them to completely gel. I mean, there's 10 new players, four freshmen, veterans coming in, meshing with the veterans already on the team. So, you know, like I said, it's going to take some time for them to fully gel. But it just seemed like, you know, they enjoy being around each other. They play well off each other. You're starting to see, you know, that level of communication both on the offensive end of the floor and on the defensive end of the floor. I just think this team makes a lot of sense from a roster construction point of view. And I hope they click more than they did last year, because for whatever reason last season, it didn't look right. I mean, I'm just pointing out the obvious. It didn't look right. But I think this year's team, just, you know, with guys like Nigel Pack and Matthew Cleveland stepping in and embracing more leadership positions, and with young guys like Cleveland was mentioning, like, of course, Bethea and Swartz and all of them really kind of embracing their youth and inexperience and looking towards these veterans for, I guess, experience and leadership and guidance. I think the chemistry should be better than, you know, what it was last year.
I know I follow your tweets and stuff. I retweet a lot of your stuff. So I know you talked a lot about Jahlil, but as far as the newcomers, like, we kind of know, we know what we're going to get from Nigel. We know a little bit what we can get from Cleveland, but as far as the newcomers coming in, was there anyone else that stood out to you, besides Jahlil, where you're like, oh, okay.
Yes. Isaiah Johnson Argu, at least from just watching him in that workout, I was like, man, he might have been like a diamond in the rough, like, recruit, in the sense that I think he could contribute year one. Just, I mean, his frame, 6'6", I think he's listed at 6'7". I'm not really great at eyeballing height, but I don't think he's 6'7". I want to say he's close to that space, 6'5 and a half, 6'6 range. But he's, you know, he's built well. He has a good frame on him, built probably as the best, like, game ready build of all the freshmen. And just his comfort with the ball in his hands was really eye-opening. I mean, he took multiple players off the drive, finding cutters, finding open shooters in the corner. Really good shooter as well. He hit this one shot that was probably like four or five, that's a stretch, like maybe 3 or 4 feet behind the top of the key above the break, which was like, wow, like super deep three. just plays with a level of confidence, right? I mean, he doesn't seem, I guess, like it doesn't seem like the speed of college basketball really affects him that much, at least just in how he processes the game. And obviously, you know, we'll have to wait and see once he actually plays in live action. But I was really, I guess, pleasantly surprised when I saw that. What else? Kid and
was he like a maybe like a Keyshawn George type of find where maybe not a lot of people know about him and we'll see more of him than what we maybe thought?
I think, yeah, in some aspect. I mean, I don't think like he will emerge as much as Keyshawn did. Yeah. But like there are some similarities in, I guess, how they were as prospects and that they're a bit unheralded, a bit under the radar. Johnson argues, you know, is a Midwest guy. So I feel like players made from that region kind of, you know, I don't want to say slip under the cracks, but, you know, guys aren't evaluated as much as they probably should. There's a lot of politics that goes into that. So, I mean, to get a guy like him, a three-star who could potentially play day one, maybe as like a 8 or 9 guy in the rotation, I think is huge. Swartz looked really good. He hit some really good shots. He's a fantastic shooter. I think he's someone that could shoot over 40% from three. Just an elite shooter. And I think he'll, you know, play a role in that guard rotation fairly early. And then, I mean, just the competitiveness between Kidd and Huey was really eye-opening. I mean, Kidd is such a good low post player. And for Miami to also get another guy in Huey who could really compete with him down low, especially in practice, I think that'll be big for both of them and really just the continued development of both their games. I guess one thing that I noticed about Kidd is that, and I don't really expect this to be like a thing that we'll see much in games. I mean, if it is, that's fantastic, but I don't really expect it. But it opened my eyes a little bit. Was that his like mechanics from beyond the arc are better than I expected, right? He's a pretty smooth shot, a lot smoother shot than I thought he did, or I thought he had. So, I mean, I don't know if he'll be shooting threes in games, but it looked pretty decent in practice.
I saw PTSD from Norwich had Brick Lane last year and continuing to shoot threes for no reason. But
I thought we said we were going to stop saying his name.
You did that. I didn't agree with that.
that UNC game was like a fever dream. We shot like 9 threes.
I'm still crushed.
Yeah, get over it. We have moved on.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I told Kyrie Huey at the Canes Connection signing over the weekend that to rep that number 15 because I was angry at the last person that wore it. So he smiled.
That's funny.
Melissa was like, don't F it up.
No pressure.
Makes it look better. I'm sad.
So, Luke, I got to ask. So I feel like, I mean, the general consensus is that this is probably one of the deepest teams we've had in a while, that there's a lot of guys that could play. Was that, I know we keep backtracking to this. It was one day, but is that kind of noticeable in the workouts that you saw?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, like this, like I'm in a way, like I'm kind of I'm pretty surprised that Miami made the runs that they made with so little depth that they had in both years. I mean, cause their depth was bad in both of those tournament runs, right? And like this feels like the first time since like, oh my god, like 2013.
2013.
This is like the first time in a fat minute that they've had like legit playable, oh my god, can we go nine deep type depth. I mean, they just have options now in like what type of lineups they throw out there, right? They want to go big, right? Okay, cool. Kidd, Johnson, Cleveland. They want to go small. Throw Johnson at the five, put Cleveland at the four, put Staten McRae at the three or the two, whatever. Like they just have the ability to match different looks and not just force small ball if it's not the right look, right? Someone mentioned this on the inside the U boards as far as like, oh, like, you know, how deep could this team be? And I think like they will comfortably play 8 to 9 guys throughout the season. Mm-hmm. Like comfortably, like not like, oh my god, like this is a pain to go 8 deep. Like no, like they could comfortably play 8 to 9 guys, right? And if they wanted to go 10, you know what? I think this upcoming year's Miami team could comfortably go 10 deep. I don't want to phrase this. They could go 10 deep more this year than they could have gone like 7 deep last year.
Oh, okay.
Right?
We had a 6 deep. It was 6 guys, yeah, last year.
It was not pretty. It was not pretty.
It was bad.
So yeah, I mean, to kind of answer your question, like they're way deeper. They have so much more lineup flexibility. They are not screwed if a starter goes down because they have competent rotation players to fill in their place.
What do you see? What, I mean, I know you only saw an hour, but like right now from what you saw, what would you think? And knowing from what they've played in the past, like what would you see as your rotation? What would be your starting five and your first three off the bench?
So I guess to start off the season, because I feel like they could tinker with the guard rotation a bit as the season goes on, just as the young guys get more accustomed. I would probably go Pack, Blackman, Cleveland, Johnson, and Kidd. And I'm very confident all those players starting except for Blackman, just because, I mean, him and Bethea, like, and Swartz. You can throw Swartz in that if you want. I mean, I think it's going to be a position battle of sorts. But I just think Blackman is going to start earlier in the season, just because, I mean, he has the experience, really good experience scoring, all that. And then coming off the bench, Bethea is going to play a lot, of course. Ooh, the seven, Stad McRae, he's going to play a lot. I'm such a big fan of his.
I wanted to ask you about him once you got into him.
Yeah, kind of going like a small tangent about him. I think he could be their best defender this year, right? He's such a competitor on that end of the floor. Can hit open threes. Like, he's going to do a lot of the dirty work for this.
He seems like he's a guy that could guard like 1 through 4. Almost.
Yes.
Like, I know he's like 6'5". He's like 6'5", right?
I believe so. Yeah. Probably 6'5". 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah. So he's a bigger guard, but his body, like, he's a big guy.
He's a big dude. He's long. And he's quick, right? So yeah, I think he could definitely have that potential to guard 1 through 4, which is fantastic. Like he might have been like, especially because how late they got him, like my personal favorite portal acquisition this past season, just because I mean I'm a really big fan of what he could bring. So he'll play. Huey's gonna play, provide those solid backup big minutes, which is needed, especially because he's a veteran. They don't have to rely on, you know, a first-year big off the bench to, you know, provide 8 to 10 minutes per game. They actually have like an experienced veteran big to bring out the bench, which fans have been calling for years. It's awesome.
It's been a long time.
it's been a minute. So that's 8, right?
Yeah, that was 8.
Yeah.
Okay, so like those are like the 8 that I'm confident in. And then if we're gonna expand to more, then I'd go Swartz, Johnson Argu. Who am I forgetting? Like all the scholarship guys.
Jobay. I love it. Yeah, we have a whole thing about him. It's a long story.
Just on a side note about him, he noticeably added a lot of like good weight this past offseason. So props to him. I'm gonna leave him out of the 8 deep though, and I think there's a chance that Johnson Argu could leap him in that. Who else?
Are we forgetting someone?
Basa Ama.
Oh yeah.
He won't play in the rotation. Unless some stuff happens. And then I think the plan is to redshirt
Divine.
Yeah.
Real quick, Vish, bring up Doom's thumbnail because it's really funny.
Oh, what the heck?
That's funny.
I love it.
I'm really happy to be included in one for a change.
I know. He doesn't like making fun of you, so he just makes fun of Matt. Yeah.
But I like when he makes fun of me, though, because his thumbnails are hilarious. Well, I'm going to be telling even more lies now with Luke's breakdown of our players, because I was trying to remain like cautiously optimistic, but I'm excited.
I would still advise to be cautiously optimistic.
I do have one more question as we kind of, you know, then we'll let you get out of here. So you mentioned all the depth and all. Is there obviously if there's like a rash of injuries, you're screwed, but is there a player you think is critical that this one guy at least has to stay healthy?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'll probably go Kidd. Just because he's, you know, the biggest guy. I mean, I expect a good amount of the offense,
so,
especially in those like late shot clock situations, to kind of run through him. So I'd go Kidd, but like, there's no player in the team that I think if they were to miss a game, it's like, oh God, oh no, oh wow. Whereas last year, right, it's like if Omir missed the game, pack it in, right? Like I just because they have that depth, and I don't want to keep on harping on it, but it's like they have so much more playable depth this year that if a kid goes down, I mean, you know, obviously hopefully not, God willing, but if a kid goes down for a couple of games, if Pack goes down for a game or two, if Cleveland goes down, like there is a solid player, there's a solid bench rotation player that you can add in each of their places, right? So yeah, to answer your question, I'd probably go Lynn Kidd, but even then I don't think it's as drastic of a situation as it would have been last year or the year before, for example.
I honestly, that's who I was thinking as well, just because I feel like we have such a good rotation of guard depth. I feel like the front court is a little bit smaller. Yeah, we have a serviceable backup now in Kyrie Huey, and you got Brandon Johnson there at the 4. But I think Kidd going down, I think we would notice more than maybe anybody else. But it's definitely a much better situation than it was in previous years. Do we want to address Bill's question before we let Luke get out of here? I mean,
he's asking like a very general question here.
There's been a lot of buzz around
any insider, any information at all.
There's been a lot of buzz around the Boozer twins, so I'll throw those names out there.
I've seen the stuff about the Boozer twins, about how like they're, I guess how Miami's like. I don't know the latest when it comes to the Boozer twins. Wish I did. I don't. So everything that's out there publicly is just as much as I know. Gonna put a story out on this tomorrow, but Matthew Abel, 6'5 shooting guard out of Sagemont, so a South Florida guy, having a really good summer right now in the Adidas circuit with, I think, Austin River, Southeast Elite, or whatever that team is called. Rising prospects, has gotten like 10 to 12 P4 offers this summer alone. He's going to take an official visit to Miami in August. So I'll have a story on that tomorrow. Just kind of shameless plug that. And yeah, like they're in the mix with some more guys. I saw that Malik Thomas reached or put out his top 7. Miami was not included. That's not happening.
He's going to UConn, right? Like,
I think like it's easy. UConn, like,
there's so much stuff he's been posting about UConn and whatnot.
I mean, I think every player who like can go to UConn should probably go to UConn.
Yeah.
Just because of how good Dan Hurley is. So I mean, if he ends up doing that, very smart career decision for him. But yeah, I guess as far as like recruiting info, that's pretty much it. Like they're offering a lot more guys. The board's filling up. We're getting more clarity on, you know, what this 25 class could potentially look like. They're even throwing a couple of offers out to some of the 26 guys as well. So yeah, like the wheels are starting to move a little bit recruiting wise, which is exciting. It's exciting.
We're going to need it too with how many seniors we have on the team this year.
Well, it's a lot of seniors. A lot of seniors,
and Jaleel's going to go pro. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, it's next year's team is going to be brand new, which is interesting.
I feel like this could be like a 2012-2013 season where, like, I mean, obviously it's new players because the transfer portal wasn't a thing, but it was like you kind of knew going in, it's like we have so many, like this is the year we need to like win because you know, but and that turned out pretty well, so we'll see what happens.
Because that team was just like
Final Four next year.
You said, well, oh, it's
oh god, we're starting this already.
Oh god,
is it in Texas again or something?
Is it in San Antonio?
It's San Antonio, I think.
Yeah, because the women's is in Tampa, so that's the one I'm looking to because I'm like, that's an easy drive, but yeah, you cover any of the women's and give the women's stuff.
It's too early for these to
honestly, like, not that much to be completely upfront. I mean, I've seen the players I've been getting. But I'm not that tuned into the woman's side, to be honest.
We got your coverage on that. Don't worry.
Thank you.
All right, Luke, real quick, before we let you go, prediction, give us your prediction where Miami finishes in the ACC this season.
Super early prediction.
Yeah.
I was going to joke around and say that they don't lose a game. But
joke.
They run the table. They yeah.
That's for the football show.
Both teams run the table. No, I'll go third. I think third feels good. I feel like that's kind of like the consensus of where people like Miami, and I kind of agree with that. Just because like there's, I don't know. I like really like Duke and UNC this year, especially UNC. RJ Davis coming back is really annoying for the rest of the conference. Him, Cadeau, and Ian Jackson is an annoying guard rotation. Like that's gonna suck. Duke's like this might be. I think this is probably the best Duke team since Boncaro was there. I mean, Flags, of course, awesome, and they had a really good portal class. And they have another 7'2 freshman big that I'm blanking on his name, but he could be a top 5 pick. I think both Duke and UNC are Final Four teams potentially. Miami, like, you know, it's a lot of like we'll see with them just because of how last season ended. But I do think this will be a tournament team. I do think that they'll be a lot better than they were last year. And there is a lot of unknowns about like the rest of the ACC aside from UNC and Duke. So I'm going to put Miami at the third spot. I think Notre Dame's a sleeper, just off topic. I really like what they could be this year. But yeah, I'll put Miami at 3, which I think that'll be like a 4 or 5 seed in the tournament.
That's reasonable.
There you go.
We'll take that. All right, Luke. You guys, make sure you follow Luke on Twitter at LukeChaney247. He posts so much college basketball stuff for Miami and FAU, if that's your thing. Luke, we'll have to have you on again, maybe like mid-season or something, break down the ACC schedule or something.
Definitely. No. Anytime. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
No. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for making time. Have a good night. Luke.
Of course. Yeah. Have a good night, guys. See you.
Cue the Sox outro. Don't cry. Keep it chill. Wear good socks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.